Psalm 121, verse 5. The Lord is your keeper. He is your shade on your right hand. Psalm 121, 5. Your keeper. He is your shade on your right hand. Psalm 121, 5. Psalm 91, 1. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Psalm 91, 1. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Psalm 91, 1. Psalm 61, verse 2. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. Psalm 61, 2. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. 61, 2. I'm anxious to get ahead of myself today. I guess you can see. Would you open your Bibles, please, to Ephesians chapter 4, verse 12. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 12. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 12. After our prayer, we will begin reading with verse 1. So if you'll have your Bible open, please, to the fourth chapter of Ephesians. Our key verse for this morning is verse 12. We spend a moment in prayer now to be sure that in these moments we're studying God's Word, that our hearts are properly related to the Lord Jesus Christ. It is wonderful to know that we can be in harmony and fellowship with our Savior Jesus Christ. Prayer time is very important because it gives us an opportunity to be sure that our sins have been confessed and that the Spirit of God now is in control. May we pray together, please. Father, we are so thankful today that it is our privilege to be here, to turn our attention away from all the various activities of life and focus our minds upon God's Word. That's our purpose and reason for being here today. And so we pray that all of us will have open hearts and minds and be able to receive and then make application and utilize the things we learn. We thank you for every blessing. In Jesus' name, amen. We find the Apostle Paul, a man of God, who because of various activities in his life and because of his ministry, he had some time in prison. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, Chapter 4 of Ephesians, verse 1. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, entreat you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling with which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, showing forbearance to one another in love, being diligent to preserve the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There's one body, one Spirit, just as also you were called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all who is over all and through all and in all. But to each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore it is said when he ascended on high, he led captive a host of captives, and he gave gifts to men. Now this expression, he ascended, what does it mean except that he also had descended into the lower parts of the earth? He who descended is himself also he who ascended far above all the heavens, that he might fill all things. Verse 11 of Ephesians chapter 4, and he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastor teachers, for the equipping of the saints for the work of service to the building up of the body of Christ. On the screen, you're going to see that the emphasis for this morning in this first service is the construction of the soul house. The construction of the soul house. You're going to see now in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 12. I'm amazed when I come to this verse to see so many different words that I would like to spend 30 minutes or an hour on. But I want you to follow me carefully. For the perfecting of the saints, to the work of the ministry, to the building of the body of Christ. When I looked up these words, the first word that I'm seeing here is the word perfecting. If you'll notice, if you can see this from where you're sitting, fine. If not, I want to point it out to you. The word katartismos, the way you pronounce it is right here. This is a phonetic spelling. Katartismos. When you look at this, you'll see that the suffix of the word is the nominative masculine. It's not the way that it's used in our verse, but that's the word that we need to see. When I look at this word, I ask myself the question, what does the word mean? And it means a bringing to a condition of fitness. A bringing to a condition of fitness. If you'll notice here that the word is described in such a magnificent way, the exact adjustment, which describes how the individual parts to work together in correct order. When we look at this word, we're able to see that the Spirit of God is using the Apostle Paul to tell us what our responsibility is as a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. We've been allowed to continue to live on this earth. And the reason for your existence and my existence is that we build this invisible soul house, spiritual house. On the back of today's bulletin, you will see a lot of information. We'll not be able to get to all of it, of course, but you will see that point one, this soul house is the unseen, invisible house in your soul, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul. Hebrews 6:19 and Hebrews 10:16 says, I will inscribe my truth on your mind. What's been amazing to me over the years is in proclaiming God's word from this pulpit, there have been people in the audience who've listened attentively and carefully, and they've done it faithfully over a period of time. And as a result of that, they have put together for themselves and for us, if we should ever see it, their thoughts in relationship to what God is doing in the lives of individuals. Some months ago, a lady handed me the diagram that I'm going to put on the screen. You've never seen this before. I will not have the time to describe it in detail, but I want you to be able to see it. We'll probably put it in next Sunday's bulletin. If a person is in proper relationship to the Lord Jesus Christ, that person has moved the instruction of Satan and the deliverance of our souls out of the hand of the old sinful nature. In other words, we've been restored to fellowship. We've made a decision that we're going to be rightly related to the Lord Jesus Christ. We've determined in our lives to put down the instruction and the presentation of the old sinful nature, And we're allowing the Lord Jesus Christ to guide our lives to the point that the cogs of the life are fitting properly. I like this picture because I want you to see that the person wrote me, an emphasis upon your life and mine. And then here is a picture of God. And as the cogs are moving around, there is the rotation of God's will, God's plan, the Word of God in my life. Can you see that? I trust that you're able to see how fantastic this illustration is. This is a person who is in fellowship. They're not allowing Satan to be the ruler and master and controller of their lives. A beautiful picture. Restored to fellowship, a decision to be right with God, allowing the old sin nature to be pushed down, having a relationship to the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the meaning of the word that we have on the screen here today in Ephesians 4:12. I'll move this for a moment and let you see again. The Greek word is in the masculine gender, and it means properly related to God, exact adjustment, which describes how the individual parts to the work together in correct order. What happens to you and me when we're not in fellowship, not properly related to the Lord? The second half, the bottom half of this diagram, shows that. It shows Satan here, and here is me. Are you following it? Are you able to see the difference between here in fellowship, the cogs are working, God is moving, and we're moving in relationship to His plan and will and design. Out of fellowship, not in harmony with the Lord Jesus Christ, here's Satan, here we are. You can see that sin is enlarged in our lives. Our decider, our volition, is saying no to God and yes to Satan. So we're out of fellowship, no relationship to the Lord Jesus Christ. Here's God over here. Here we are over here. Over the past weeks and months, some things have come very strong in my thinking. And I want to share this at the very beginning of this message. The first thing that I list here is God made you. So I would like for you to put down in your thinking, God made me. He gave you an eternal soul. He gave you and me an eternal soul. When you and I came on the scene, we came on the scene physically alive, but spiritually dead, but we have an eternal soul. The scripture reveals very vividly that we have a sinful nature. I'm going to come back and look at this more in detail, but I want you to see that somewhere along the line, we heard the gospel of salvation, which was an emphasis upon God's plan of redemption for mankind. It was the Lord Jesus Christ who had done all this for us. We somehow need to analyze and think about the fact that we're sinners. Christ is not a sinner. So Christ had no sin. And yet the scripture reveals that He was judged for us. We all understand that we have no righteousness except that which has been imputed. So when you and I accepted Jesus Christ as Savior, He worked the miracle of transformation. And we call that the concept of imputation. We receive the truth. While we're receiving the truth, we're receiving blessings from God while we're here on the earth. We have eternal life. Eternal life. When you have a soul, you have everlasting life. But when you've been born into God's kingdom, we're using this terminology in this way, you now have eternal life, a gift from God. You and I have the opportunity to grow and advance spiritually. And when we do that, we're the recipients of earthly blessings. Also, we must realize that you and I have the potential of blessings forever in eternity. I showed this page to my companion of all these many years, and she said to me, "That's so good, but you need to see it individually." And so I said, "Yes, you're right. God made you. God made you. You're not an accident. You're here on purpose. God put you here. You're here at this particular time for a particular reason. God made you." We're sinners. All of us must realize that. And we have an old sinful nature. Some time ago, a few weeks ago, a few months ago, a few years ago, the gospel of salvation, the good news, was presented. Even though you realized that you were an unsaved individual, a sinner, that you had this old sinful nature, the gospel was presented and you accepted God's wonderful plan in salvation for you. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except by me." You and I, all of us know that salvation is by faith alone in Christ alone. All of us are aware of the fact that many people today are trying to add something to it. They're trying to add baptism, trying to add church membership, they're trying to add good works, they're trying to add the Ten Commandments, always trying to add something to God's plan. Jesus said, "I'm the way." He didn't say, "I'm one of the ways." "I'm the way. I'm the way." So we received salvation. We realized that we had no righteousness of our own. And so when we accepted Jesus Christ as Savior, God imputed, He put into us regeneration, eternal life. It's imputed, it's placed in. I wanted to spend an hour or two with you on the subject of imputation. We'll get to some of it perhaps. We receive truth as a born-again believer, and we're blessed while we're here on the earth. You and I must realize how fantastic it is to be a member of God's family. We're here because God has allowed us to continue to be here. We receive truth on a day-by-day basis, and it's blessings for us in time. What we have is eternal life. We all realize that every individual born has a soul that lasts forever, everlasting life for the soul. But the person who's been born into God's kingdom has this magnificent eternal life. "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe in Him would not perish, but have eternal life." A gift from God. In the light of that, there are potential blessings designed for us for eternity. I have many questions in relationship to what eternity is going to be like. And I would imagine you do too. I'm sure that God didn't want to give us everything about heaven because we would want to leave here so fast we might make some bad decisions. If you got my drift, you're understanding what I'm saying. We cannot even imagine what God has for us in a few years, a few months, a few days, when God takes us home, or if the rapture should occur. In other words, we must realize the potential blessings for eternity. While we're here, spiritual growth is absolutely essential. And while we're advancing on this earth, we can rest assured that God is going to bless us tremendously with earthly blessings. For me to describe those, I cannot do that. I do not understand what all God has in store. But I do believe that God is not on starvation row. Spiritual growth, earthly blessings. So what have we said? God made you. He gave you an eternal soul. We're sinners and have an old sin nature. We've been the recipients of the gospel, salvation through Jesus Christ. We understand some things about the Lord Jesus Christ. Virgin conceived, virgin born, no sin. He lived a perfect, impeccable life, went to the cross to die for your sins and mine. Christ had no sin, and yet he was judged for your sins and mine. Every sin we've ever committed, past, present, and future. I don't know what that does for you. It should shake you to your boots when you realize how good God is and how he's forgiven you and me of our past sins, present sins, future sins. He was judged for us. Every sin that's ever been committed, Jesus Christ bore that when he gave himself on the cross for you and me. We are individuals with no righteousness. No matter how good you may think you are or how good I may think I am, let me tell you something. We're just as filthy rags in God's sight. So we're the recipients of imputed, placed in righteousness. We receive the truth now that we're born again, and that means we are the recipient of blessings in time. We have eternal life, a gift from God, not worked for. We could never do anything to merit what God is doing and has done. So now it's our responsibility to grow up, to advance spiritually, and be the recipient of earthly blessings. What am I saying today? I'm saying that you and I have the responsibility of soul growth. I realize that we're putting words so often in figurative ways, but I use the terminology, the construction of the soul house. I realize that this is not something you touch. It's not something that's tangible. It's not something that you see. But it's a responsibility that every born-again believer has. And that is to continue on a day-by-day basis to construct this soul house. Over the years, we've tried to explain this house of the soul. I have various diagrams. One that you have in the bulletin today is not the one I'm putting on the screen right now. Over the years, I've had individuals in our congregation who worked with me to design various diagrams. This is one of them. I enjoy this one because it shows the bedrock of salvation, faith alone in Christ alone. I will take you quickly up the steps, and then I'm going to ask you to look at the one that you have in your bulletin today. If you'll notice, here's an emphasis upon sand works of the flesh. A person cannot depend upon any human ingenuity or ability or effort to make it possible to be born into God's kingdom. It is the work of God. It is what God does for the individual when the person believes. And the scripture says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved. I'm going to quote that again and I want to let you see if you're hearing it, if you're understanding correctly what I'm saying. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and join the church and you shall be saved. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and be baptized, and you shall be saved. Am I saying this correctly? No. I want you to see that the Bible says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved. The object of salvation is the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, stay with me, please. On the diagram that you see on the screen, you see how the believer is to be filled with the Spirit, how to have objective thinking, genuine humility, personal love for God, impersonal love for mankind, have a relaxed attitude, and then go all the way to the peak of this house, and you'll see the Greek word chara, which means joy, peace, contentment. This is just one diagram. The other diagram is the one that you have in your bulletin today. Would you look at it, please? I'll give you time to look at it. If you'll notice at the bottom there is the Greek word soterios, which means salvation. You'll notice the next step is, for the believer, the filling of the Holy Spirit. Ephesians 5:18. Be not drunk with wine, where it is excess, but be ye filled with the Holy Spirit. This is not something odd. This is not something strange. This is not something that makes you act funny. This is something to help you be normal. And that's what we have in Ephesians 5:18. The next word that you see on the bulletin, the insert that you have there, is the word full knowledge. And it's the Greek word epinosis. I've not marked these words. I just want you to see that you have E-P-I-G-N-O-S-I-S, epinosis. If you move on up, you'll see humility. Move on up, you'll see the Greek word agape, relaxed mental attitude. You move on up, you'll see another word for love, and it is the word philos, a beautiful word, a word that means rapport. And then you move on up to the Greek word chara. Over the years, it's been my joy to study and learn and get myself so involved that I get excited about it. I get excited about words in the Word of God. I just want to show you a few of these. The word construction that I'm using is actually the word used in our verse, Ephesians 4:12, Ephesians 4:16, Ephesians 4:29. It is the word akadome. O-I-K-O-D-O-M-E. I put this up here for you to see in the English. I want you to see it in the original language. And when you look at this word, you'll see the first part of it, O-I-K-O-S, is the word for house in the original language. And then there's the word D-O-M-E, which is an emphasis upon the construction. So why do I have the word soul house? Why do I have the word spiritual house of the soul? Where did you get this, preacher? I got it from this. The construction, spiritually, the construction of the soul house. Now let me take you to some other exciting words. I would like for you to get as excited as I am about it, but maybe you won't, and that's okay. I'm still excited, whether you get excited or not. The next word is found in 1 Timothy 1:4, and let me spell it for you. You see if there's any closeness to it. O-I-K-A-D-O-M-I-A. This is a noun. It emphasizes the result of the construction of the soul house. When you go to Acts 4:11, you find the word O-I-K-O-D-O-M-O-S, a noun. This time, the emphasis is upon the builder, the ultimate builder of that house. Now, let me show you how important this is. I purchase a piece of property. I want to have a house out there. I go to Lowe's or somewhere, and I buy some shingles. And I get in my car, and I drive past that lot where I want that house to be built. And I throw out some shingles, and I drive on by. And I look back to see if there's a house there. Well, I'm building the house. I just threw out some shingles. Do you see how foolish that is? How do you think that a person can build a soul house, a spiritual house, by just passing by the communication of the Word of God occasionally? Let's just say I'll go to church on Sunday morning, but I won't study my Bible on Monday or Tuesday or Wednesday or Thursday or Friday or Saturday. I'm not properly related to the Lord Jesus Christ. How will that house ever be constructed? I'm trying to show you some beautiful words. This word used in Acts 4:11 is a noun that emphasizes the ultimate builder of this construction, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. 1 Thessalonians 5:11, O-I-K-O-D-O-M-E-O, is a verb. It means to build. Would you allow me to get more excited? Here it is. There's the first word, okatome. O-I-K-O-S is house. D-O-M-E, the construction, the putting it together. Here's another word. I've already given it. Now you see it again. Okatomia. Beautiful word. Same thing, same emphasis. The building of the soul house. Okatomos. I've already given you this, but I just want you to see it individually. And it is the masculine gender suffix there. The building of the house, soul house. Now we go to a verb. The reason I know this is a verb is because of the suffix, the ending, okatomeo. How beautiful this is. There are important words in the Word of God for you and me building this spiritual house. I put 9 words on the screen quickly. There's the word cardia. Most of you are familiar with the word cardia. When I say the word cardia, you're going to say heart. That's right. But when you talk about the spiritual cardia, it's the mentality of your soul. The mentality of your soul. What I appreciate this about this audience is that you're sitting there, listening attentively and carefully. And I think that what's happening to you is that words are being communicated, and in fellowship you're hearing these words and you're saying that you have the mentality of soul. You have the ability with your mind to comprehend and appreciate and understand, categorize things that are being said. And you're saying to yourself, I'm seeing this. I have an eternal soul. I have a saved soul. Because I have everlasting life, I have eternal life. I have been changed from a person unsaved with a soul and a body, but not the Lord. I've been changed because I've accepted Jesus Christ as Savior. He changed me. I am the recipient of imputed righteousness. So I'm no longer now soul and body. I'm body, soul, and spirit, which means I'm trichotomous. I have now, God has given to me, I have now the ability to comprehend and appreciate things that are spiritual. Okay. Cardia. Hasten on. Nous. You probably didn't know that you had a nous. That's a Greek word for your mind. You have a mind. You're sitting here today. The real you is in your body. The real you is not your body. The real you as a believer is your soul and spirit. But you're sitting here, the real you, sitting here in a body. And you have a nous, a mind. The verb of nous is noeo, which means thinking. You're using your nous, your mind, to think. All I'm trying to do is to paint a picture of how you and I have the responsibility of constructing this soul house. As you're listening, you're getting information. The Greek word that describes that is gnosis, knowledge. What you're doing, I trust, is phroneo, which means that you're doing some objective thinking. Not subjective, but objective. If you're subjective, you're saying, I would like for that preacher to hurry up and get through. That's subjective thinking. I don't know where you are. I'm not reading your mind. I'm just simply telling you something. I'm trying to see, for you to see for yourself where you are. You have a mind. You have the ability to think. If you're thinking and listening attentively and carefully, objectively, you're receiving information, knowledge. If you're not, then the word that describes you is dokeo, which means subjective thinking. Each individual has to decide for himself, herself, what they're going to do. If you are listening attentively and carefully and you're objective and the Spirit of God is ministering to your life, what's happening to you is that you are advancing to the point that eventually you can be the recipient of epinosis, full knowledge, complete knowledge. That doesn't mean you're perfect by any means. It just means that you've advanced spiritually. There are two other words I have to tell you before we go to break. Sophia, a beautiful, beautiful word in the original language. It means knowledge, but it means workable knowledge. In other words, if you advance as a spiritual person and build and continually build this soul house, you're going to more and more have the ability to see things from a divine vertical viewpoint. God wants us to see things from His vantage point. And I cannot tell you, but I want to. I want to tell you how beautiful this next word is. Very seldom do I talk about this word. It's the Greek word sunesis. S-U-N-E-S-I-S. I'm almost about to cry because I want you to see how wonderful and fantastic this is. It means moving in life, advancing as a spiritual person, so that most of the things that you're seeing as God sees. Wow. From a vertical divine viewpoint. Most of us spend so much time down here with human horizontal viewpoint that we don't get up here so that we can look down and see things as God sees them. You see what I'm saying? Are all of you listening? Do you see what I'm saying? Do we see things from a God's vantage point, a vertical viewpoint? Most of us live in such a way that we are just continually seeing things from a human, horizontal viewpoint. Oh, this word is so fantastic. It's the word that we translated here for you, comprehension. Comprehension. I just wish you folks knew how thankful I am for such a magnificent listening audience. I tell you this all the time. You're going to get the big head for me telling you this. But I do want you to know that when I stand here and you listen, I look at you. I see you individually. I'm not paying a lot of attention to your expressions, but I am able to see, and I've seen here today, that you've listened attentively and carefully. May we pray together, please. The closing few moments of this service are designed for anyone who's never accepted Jesus Christ as Savior. What's exciting to me is that God has given me the opportunity not only to speak to you in this auditorium, He's given me the opportunity to speak to others. And I do not know who these others are, but I do know that we just got an email from Kenya, Africa, where an entire congregation plays these messages to their congregation, and the pastor expresses appreciation for the communication. So I'm saying to you, I do not know who all is listening, but if you're out there today, if you're in this auditorium today, and you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, you could do that now. Jesus is the way of salvation. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I didn't say that. The Bible says that. Jesus said, I'm the way. So you can believe right now and accept Him and know without doubt that your home, when you leave this life or when the rapture occurs, will be in His presence. Because the Bible says to be absent from this body to the believer is to be at home with the Lord. Thank you for every blessing. In Jesus' name, amen.